You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. According to some new data, there are signs that divorce rates in the U.S. have been climbing over the course of the pandemic. According to the legal document company Legal Templates, the number of people seeking divorces between March and June was 34% higher than the same period the previous year. And in a Wall Street Journal feature, a number of divorce lawyers reported that they were getting more calls from potential clients. Stephanie Kuntz is Director of Research and Public Education for the Council on Contemporary Families at the Evergreen State College in Olympia, Washington. She's also an Emeritus Faculty of History and Family Studies and author of multiple books on gender, family, and history. Stephanie, good to have you back with us.
Thank you. It's nice to talk to you again.
Well, before we get to divorce, Stephanie, you are in Washington State, I understand, close to where some of the wildfires are. We're going to talk more about that tomorrow at 4:38. You're seeing some of this heavy smoke close to you. Is that right?
Oh, yes. The air quality is just terrible all along the coasts, even those of us who are a little ways from the fires. I looked it up. They are telling us to stay in or get out of the area. I would have to drive to Calgary, Canada, to get to out to clean air. And, of course, we're not allowed in there because of COVID-19. If you lived in Oregon, my friends there would have to drive to Utah to get the clean air. That's how bad it's hazardous all the way up and down the coast.
Well, best to you and everyone dealing with all the smoke and fire out there. And again, we'll talk about that more tomorrow. Now, on to what we did call you about. First of all, I mentioned some kind of anecdotal and observational data. From what you're seeing, are you seeing this uptick in divorce in the United States during the pandemic?
Well, it's too early to tell whether these downloaded divorce agreements and these discussions will actually lead to filings of divorce. But certainly they're a sign of distress. And other surveys show that almost a third of couples say that the quarantine has really damaged their relationship. It's the study that you referred to showed that newlyweds were downloading this at the highest rates, and that may reflect the fact that they've had less time to get used to the ups and downs in a relationship, so they're more likely to see it as a problem with their partner rather than as maybe an understandable response to an extraordinarily challenging situation.
And this is obviously a disruptive thing for everybody, married, single, and wherever they are on the spectrum here. Can you talk about the new wrinkles, the curveballs that maybe being at home together a lot more can throw into a couple's relationship?
Well, yes. You know, one of the things that people are always telling us couples is that, oh, let's go and have date night and stuff. But a continuous date night is not good for a relationship. Studies show that socializing with other adults, having consequential interactions with people who are not good friends but that you just work with or have pleasant experiences with are really important to people's sense of well-being. So as we're thrown into complete isolation like this with one other person, there's no way that you're not going to feel a certain diminution of well-being, and it's easy to project that onto your partner. Other studies show that chronic stress, even couples who have really good relationships, really good communication skills, their interactions become much more negative, and that's a better prediction of stress than their actual individual personalities, their life histories, whether they come from divorced families or what. So I'm not a fan of restricting divorce. We found that when divorce was liberalized in this country, every state that did so immediately saw about a 30% decline in domestic violence. But I do think this would be a time for people to think about how much of the problem is in the situation rather than in your partner. And, of course, it's all combined with the stress of the medical issues, the unemployment issues, and if you have children, having the children, and this impossible job of having to work from home and also homeschool your children. It's just a tremendously stressful situation for everyone. We're seeing more drinking going on, and that exacerbates, it intensifies conflicts. So it's a really, really difficult, volatile situation for everyone.
Let's key in on one thing you mentioned there. The division of labor in households can already be tough. Now there's maybe more labor with homeschooling and just being around the house more. The house gets dirtier faster. How important is it for couples to figure out how they're divvying up this extra chore work and maybe doing it in an equal-ish way?
Well, it's very important. Before COVID-19, we found that an unequal division of chores has become one of the major predictors of conflict between couples, and that a more equal one is one of the main predictors of happiness, of sexual satisfaction and marital satisfaction. So clearly, this is going to be stressful. There's a kernel of good news here, and that is that among couples where the man had already started to do more housework and childcare, he has really upped that during the COVID from the studies that we're seeing. But the bad news is, and I think this is the result of the socialization that women have had, and that to be the experts in children, and that men have had in terms of being able to overlook certain kinds of invisible labor, that when a new task comes along, like homeschooling, that gets offloaded more often onto the woman, and women are doing the vast majority of that, even as many of them are still trying to work. And other studies that researchers have done show that when women and men are working from home, even aside from childcare, and men do more childcare when they're working from home than they ordinarily do, but they're less likely to be interrupted by children when they're trying to work, you know, whether that's because the children feel more free to interrupt mom or mom feels less free than dad to say, no, I'm busy now, I'm shutting the door. So that's another stressor for people.
Talking to Stephanie Kuntz from the Council on Contemporary Families and the Evergreen State College in Olympia, Washington. Talking about challenges facing couples during the pandemic and a possible risk of an increase in divorce. Too soon to tell on the numbers there. Stephanie, another thing that we might usually have is the relief valve. If we got a little something going on at home, we can vent about it to our buddies at the bar or our coworkers at the office or whatever, and maybe that's all we need. Well, you can't really do that on the Zoom gathering with people while your spouse or significant other is sitting in the next room over.
Absolutely. That's a really important part. People need a variety. We've found that the happiest marriages are when people specialize a little bit. They've got some friends they can turn to talk about some issues. They've got their partner to talk about other issues. And so they don't have to try to get everything from just one person. But not only are we having to get everything from just one person, but we're doing it under the kind of conditions that would make a saint pretty snappish. So I think that is a real big problem for people.
You talked earlier a little bit about communication, and is there something to be said for in that situation where things are tough and maybe we're blaming that significant other for the problem, just communicating about how the pandemic is inherently stressful and both people kind of acknowledging that out loud?
I think that's a really important thing to do. We have found in studies of couples, for example, low-income couples, and a lot of people are feeling economic stress now, so the studies are relevant to a lot of other people who wouldn't have been low-income before. We find that when they're encouraged to understand how economic stress erodes coping abilities, erodes patience, makes people less able to see the good things that are going on and more likely to focus on the bad things, that when they begin to hear that and realize that everybody else is in the same boat, it helps them recognize that maybe they can just join together to work with this problem as a couple rather than blaming each other for the problem. So I think that's a very important thing. The other part of it is that sometimes, you know, we have this big ideas that we have to talk everything out. But sometimes if you can't solve a problem, you don't necessarily have to keep talking at it, worrying at it, and you know, discussing it over and over again. Sometimes let your partner retreat for a little bit.
Speaking of retreating, how about the idea of, I don't know, maybe a truce? Like, hey, let's table things during the pandemic. Hopefully this is a temporary condition. Things will get better, and then we reevaluate the relationship versus this is a disaster. Let's get divorced right now.
Right, exactly. As I said, there are times when you do need to get a divorce. We know that domestic violence has gone up during this. And, you know, there are times when it's dangerous to stay in a relationship and try to make it work. But overall, if you have a couple that was getting along pretty well before the pandemic crisis hit, it's worth making that kind of pause, making to realize this may be the challenge of our lifetime, and it is natural and normal for us to have to be discontented with ourselves, with each other, with the situation. But let's just see before we jump off a cliff here.
And very briefly, Stephanie, when are we going to know, when will we have solid numbers to know if this is actually a trend that's happening, an increase in divorce?
Well, a lot depends on what's happening with the economy. Divorces are expensive. It's hard to move out of a place. On the other hand, rents, there may be some possibilities that rents are falling if this continues to happen. And so people will be able to move out. But, you know, it's going to take a year or two before we begin to really see. Now, in China, there was a surge of divorce after the first wave of the COVID-19. So it's certainly a good possibility. But
thanks to our, I got to jump in, Stephanie. Thanks for joining us. That's Stephanie Kuntz from the Evergreen State College in Olympia, Washington. She's with the Council on Contemporary Families. We talked about challenges facing couples during COVID. This is Central Time.